certain item 1166.
Authorize the purchase of certain real property known as the West Wind Apartments, located at 323 and 3237 Northwest 6th Avenue, for purchase price and closing cost in an amount not to exceed $3,052,056.
Colleagues, we regularly hear during communications that we are either not addressing the homeless crisis or we are not sufficiently addressing the homeless crisis. I hope that this ordinance goes some way towards compelling people to understand that we are approaching this with a sense of urgency, that it is a priority, that we are making significant investments, and we are even taking significant risks to be able to address this crisis that we all agree is unfolding on our streets. This ordinance is for the acquisition of the West Wind Apartments in Old Town to be redeveloped under Portland's housing bond, which was supported by the voters in the city of Portland. The West Wind represents the fifth property identified for the bond program, bringing the total number of units acquired and planned to just over 600, nearly halfway towards our goal of 1,300 units. Currently, the West Wind provides 70 low-cost, low-barrier, single-room occupancy units. This acquisition will preserve a scarce type of housing that's vital to our efforts to tackling homelessness in the central city for our most vulnerable neighbors and moves us closer towards our goal of 2,000 units in 10 years with regard to supportive housing. Future plans to replace the existing building will create new units that are safe, high quality, and permanently affordable homes with services for very low income individuals, including permanent supportive housing units. And so with that, I'll turn it over to our presenters panel. We have Shannon Callahan, of course, from the Portland Housing Bureau, Mark Jolin from the Joint Office of Homeless Services. Welcome and thank you both for being here.
Good morning, Mayor. Thank you very much. Shannon Callahan from the Portland Housing Bureau. I am pleased today to be here to request your authorization to purchase the West Wind Apartments located on Northwest 6th in the Old Town neighborhood. I'm also joined here by Mark Jolin, and in a moment you will also hear from Andy Shaw and Dana Brandon of Central City Concern, as well as Peter Beyer of Home Forward, all of whom are partners in helping us operate, provide services, and provide vouchers, rent support for low-income households who will be residing in the future West Wind. As you heard at the permanent supportive housing briefing that you and Multnomah County held earlier this year, this is a joint project of the Portland Housing Bureau, the Portland Housing Bond specifically, and Multnomah County. As the mayor mentioned, the West Wind has for many years served as low barrier housing for many of our most vulnerable residents. And to our knowledge, it's one of the last remaining single room occupancy buildings in private hands within the central city. Many of the single-room occupancy buildings that we've been able to save are either in the ownership of the Portland Housing Bureau or our partners, notably, as you'll hear from Central City Concern, who owns many of the single-room occupancy buildings left remaining in the central city. The fate of this building has long been on many of our city agencies' radar, including the Portland Housing Bureau, the Bureau of Development Services, many of the county's agencies, including mental health and addiction services, as many of their clients reside in this building and currently receive services from the county agencies. When we heard that this building last year was had the potential for sale, we all worked together to act to save and preserve this building, both for the current tenants and for the future tenants. And we're pleased that after almost a year of working on this building, we're here today to bring you this purchase. As the mayor mentioned, we do plan on replacing this building with approximately 70 units, which is currently the current number of units in the building. We have about 50 of those units that are currently occupied by households, many of whom have been placed either through county services or our nonprofit support partners. This ordinance today asks you to approve approximately $3 million of downtown waterfront urban renewal area, We'll be using those funds to acquire the building. And then in partnership with Multnomah County and the housing bond, we'll be replacing that building. I also would like to note that we are currently exploring the use of low-income tax credits, which to replace this building. It is made possible to us by the adoption of Measure 102 last week, the constitutional amendment. This was not something that was possible before that, but it could bring a significant amount of equity and capital to replace this building and ensure both a safe community for the residents, but also a lively commercial ground floor for the Old Town neighborhood.
By the way, when is 102 effective?
It goes into effect 30 days from the time that it is certified by the Secretary of State, and I apologize, I don't know that that has occurred yet.
Okay.
But we are working with the Bond Oversight Committee the first week of December to start to make plans on how to adapt the rollout of the constitutional amendment as it relates to the Portland Housing Bond. As the mayor mentioned, this property is significant to ensuring the goals that you set for reaching supportive housing, 2,000 new units in the next 10 years. As you heard earlier this year, we've already programmed or planned for at least 500 of those units. And finally, before I turn it over to to Mark, I'd like to note, as the mayor said, that this is the fifth bond project that we've identified, which so far we've identified more than 634 new units or acquired units of housing. And I am pleased today to turn it over to Mark Jolin of the Joint Office.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you, Mayor, Commissioners. Mark Jolin, the Director of the Joint Office of Homeless Services. And I just want to take a minute to celebrate the partnership that this project represents amongst all of us who you'll hear from today, but in particular the city and the county. At the time that Wapato was sold last year, the County Commission, in a resolution brought forward by Commissioner Lori Stegman, directed an exploration of the best uses of the proceeds from that sale. There was quickly agreement that the most critical need was to expand permanent supportive housing. We reached out to Shannon and the Portland Housing Bureau asking where there might be an opportunity to co-invest the funds in a project with the city that would add supportive housing capacity, in particular for people who are chronically homeless and struggling with serious mental and physical health challenges. The West Wind represented the perfect opportunity to acquire a building to prevent the displacement of the vulnerable tenants already in that building and to invest in replacing it with 70 new SRO units with intensive on-site support services. The County Board voted unanimously to approve the intergovernmental agreement, transferring $4 million to the Portland Housing Bureau for use in the redevelopment of the West Wind. As the project moves forward, the Joint Office will use city and county supportive housing funds to provide the wraparound support services that the tenants in the building need. We will also use our coordinated access system to ensure equitable access to the units for the most vulnerable adults in our community. Through a network of more than 27 nonprofits, including 7 culturally specific providers, we have implemented a single assessment supportive for 4 supportive housing that can be conducted anywhere in the community. We've trained more than 200 people to conduct those assessments. Coordinated access prioritizes people for access to the dozens of different supportive housing projects in our community, including both permanent supportive housing and recovery housing. No longer does someone who is extremely vulnerable have to travel all over town to be assessed and apply for multiple different supportive housing programs. They do one assessment, and we match them to units as they become available in any of the community's supportive housing projects. And given that some people are so vulnerable and isolated that they won't seek out services themselves, we have a whole team of outreach workers who are in the community conducting supportive housing assessments on the streets and in people's camps. Right now, we have about 1,300 chronically homeless people who have been assessed through coordinated access and are waiting to be matched for an appropriate supportive housing unit. The West Wind will be a critical addition to the inventory of units available to these extremely vulnerable people in our community, many of whom are living unsheltered. The West Wind is also a great example of the kind of partnership that will allow us to fulfill the promise of adding at least 2,000 units of supportive housing in our community by 2028. I thank you for your support of the West Wind acquisition and of the people in our community who so desperately need this kind of housing opportunity.
Thank you.
With that, Mayor, I'd like to invite up Andy Shaw and Dana Brandon of Central City Concern, as well as Peter Beyer of Home Forward.
Thank you.
Colleagues, while they are coming up, I'd like to add a technical amendment at the request of the Housing Bureau. The amendment would read as follows. To ensure that we're in compliance with local budget law, I move to strike Section 1C, which reads, C, increase appropriations to Portland Housing Bureau by $154,000 through the end of the current fiscal year, and replace the language with the following. In order to ensure sufficient cash flow to operate the subject property for the remainder of the fiscal year, this ordinance authorizes a transfer of $154,000 from the Housing Investment Fund to the Tax Increment Financing Reimbursement Fund. Can I get a second? Carla, please call the roll.
Hugh Daly?
Aye.
Fritz?
This is a technical amendment that I can't imagine anybody would object to. Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Wheeler?
Aye. Amendment's adopted. Sorry, and welcome. Thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Good morning.
My name is Andy Shaw. I'm the Director of Housing at Central City Concern. I'm here to speak a little bit about the historical use of the West Wind as a low-income and low-barrier housing, and also talk about the importance of preserving this housing type and benefits to this neighborhood and the city, and how the West Wind, properties like the West Wind, is also a tremendous asset for service providers. Lastly, I also want to talk a little bit about CCC experience operating and managing low-barrier housing for very low-income individuals. I think we have a few minutes or so. Okay. So West Wind, I think a couple of years ago, there was a study in San Diego that came out that talked about the correlation between the loss of SRO housing to the rise of homelessness in that city. And I think since the 1980s, about 14,000 units of SRO housing, they started losing about 75% of their 14,000 SRO units. And concurrently, they saw a rise in homelessness. I think the city's acquisition of the West Wind is a great step forward to reversing trends like that in our city. This morning, I was just there, and just seeing kind of how neglected the property is. There was, you know, falling kind of plaster, and I think a lot of people, you know, there were hoarding activities and very filthy conditions. And so the city's acquisition of the West Wind is really critical, not only reversing the role of providing more affordable housing, but really kind of helping those who have been most marginalized to kind of to get connected to services. In terms of assets, as you know, Central City Concern, the four arms of our organization is health services, behavioral health, employment services, and housing, supportive housing services. And I know that in a lot of the SROs currently own, at least in one of the SROs currently owned by private owners, we have in one building, not the West Wind, another building, we have at least 20 individuals connected to our health services and behavioral health arm. So I think these assets are very critical because our primary care physician, our behavioral health staff, one of the things they'll tell you is health without housing is impossible because people just get their wounds kind of open up again and they have no place to stabilize. Finally, our experience operating and managing low-barrier housing, we have about at least 10 SRO properties right in the vicinity within the West Wind Apartments in near Old Town. And we've been doing this since 1979. So we're confident that we can go in and properly manage the property for the city until a more long-term game plan will be in place. I'm going to turn this over to Dana Brandon, our Director of Supportive Housing.
Good morning. Dana Brandon, Director of Supportive Housing at Central City Concern. I'm just going to talk briefly about the types of services that we provide in our buildings. We, as you know, provide, we're up to almost 23 buildings of affordable, low barrier, in most cases, buildings with recovery housing as well. We have on-site staff in some of our buildings 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have resident services support coordinators who assist our permanent tenants with any variety of needs that they might have. We support them in eviction prevention. We support them in acquiring food. We help connect them to health services if they're not connected. So we provide really robust services throughout our portfolio in every building with resident services coordinators as well as case management staff in a number of our buildings. So we have, as I know you all know, great depth and breadth of experience in providing this work and ensuring the safety and security of the buildings that we oversee.
Thank
you. Mayor, can I ask a question?
Commissioner Fish.
One of the things that discouraged me a little bit in an otherwise very successful election season was when we were making the case about ballot measures 102 and 26-199, there were some people that chose to oppose the regional bond on the grounds that by serving low-income people with particularly people that had needs beyond just subsidized housing, needed intensive services, we were at risk of creating, and I'm going to put this word in quotation marks because I can't believe in 2018 we're using language like this, but we're going to create ghettos throughout the region. And that was a line of argument used at editorial board meetings and some public meetings. Well, clearly the public rejected that scare, that fear-mongering that happened during the campaign. But I think it is fair to ask you, from your position, what's the most persistent myth that we have to sort of address about why it is nationally it's become a best practice to provide a deeply affordable rental apartment with services to help chronically homeless people get back on their feet?
I don't know. I really don't know. Certainly one of the myths around the homeless is that the homeless want to be on the streets, that they don't want to be in housing. And I guess that's a myth about homelessness that I see as being perpetuated.
Yeah. I can also kind of speak to that. I think CCC's approach is to provide comprehensive services, employment, housing, supportive housing, and mental health and primary care. And I think what we've seen is, people who come through our housing, they are desperately want to have safety and security, employment. And within our organization, what I see my staff is who have kind of come through the ladder from homelessness to, voluntary through our community volunteer corps to getting employment. What I see is, like, some of our best employees are actually people who have come from homelessness through recovery. So I think that the myth that by providing more housing and intensive services is going to create more ghettos, I simply don't see that that's the case. That hasn't been my lived experience with my own staff. And I think CCC, we have one occupational therapist that serves Huber Detox. And I think what she'll tell you is, like, people who come through recovery, they do want to get employed. They do want to get better. I think people need ideas on how they can manage their pain, how they can kind of live a more stable life. So I think the need for services is tremendous, because I think people need that navigator or people with special expertise to really help them overcome barriers.
Yeah, so. Thank you.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. My name is Peter Beyer, and I am the Chief Financial Officer and current Acting Executive Director of Home Forward. Home Forward is proud to partner with the city to help acquire, build, and asset manage housing funded by Portland's Affordable Housing Bond. We enthusiastically endorse the acquisition and redevelopment of the West Wind Apartments. In connection with the passing of the housing bond, Home Forward utilized the flexibility of our special moving to work designation to ensure we could commit to pairing up to 400 project-based vouchers with bond funds. From what was envisioned at that early time, the West Wind Apartments represents a perfect example of the value we saw in pairing vouchers with the bond. It is a building that is located in a great neighborhood, near amenities, services, and transportation. There are multiple partners working together to ensure the residents will have access to the ongoing services they need. And because of the vouchers, the property will serve people living with very low incomes and help people transition from homelessness. Beyond the voucher commitment, Home Forward will provide asset management services for the property. We have decades of experience in asset management and managing properties like the West Wind Apartments, and our asset management team is incredibly skilled, and we will utilize our expertise and the processes we have spent decades developing to ensure the West Wind is successful, not just from a physical asset or a financial statement perspective, but from a livability perspective. Housing is at the core of what Home Forward does, but the people are the reason that it matters. I know the members of this council understand the importance of the PSH model of housing, and as was stated, the challenge for our community will be to stay focused and committed to all three words connected with that acronym: permanent, supportive, and housing. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank the City Council and all of our partners for entrusting us with this work. We are excited about the West Wind Apartments, and we're looking forward to helping create a building that will be a long-term and vital resource for Portlanders now and for years to come. Again, thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, all three of you. Appreciate it. Thanks for your partnership. Public testimony, Carla.
Yes, we have four people signed up.
Very good.
The first three are Charles Bridgecrane Johnson, Maggie, and Joe Walsh.
Good morning.
Good morning, commissioners. It's not fun to be the bearer of bad tidings, to have to... So, just to be clear, this project does nothing to address homelessness. It's a place that has 50 people living in it now, and when you're done, it'll have 50 people living in it. So it's a zero net on homelessness. It is changing the status of those units from slumlord-operated $500 per month paid by people who only have $700 a month of income to those people now be paying 30% of their income and will live in a clean, hygienic building. But it's actually zero gain in the struggle to end homelessness, period. There's no way around that, no matter how... You're welcome to invite them back, but that's the actual song and dance truth here.
Can
the
I
other
answer
thing
that
is, that there's
you?
No... The other thing is that... this is a nothing. What this is taking $2 million... Taking $2 million, you could go over there and get a bag of $2 million, or you could just get a nice check. And we're taking it to Newburg. I lost the address. I'm not going to log in. And giving it to the slumlord that bought this building in 2004. So in 2004, a predatory slumlord bought this building for $1.1 million, has emotionally and psychologically abused every human being that has lived there since 2004, and now... We're giving them a $2 million cash reward. The people that live in this building deserve this project. They deserve to be saved, rescued, helped. We need permanent supportive housing. This plan, and we've only seen a glimpse of it, because what we're talking about is buying the property for $3 million in here. We're not talking about the actual construction cost of replacing the building. That comes next. Then there's the funding of the PSH, the permanent supportive housing. So it's sad, but that's the simple truth. We have a building that has had at times 50 to 70 people in it. We're going to shut it down for a while, like we've done for the Joyce. It'd be great to also get an update on the Joyce at this time. So people just need to know that that's the truth. No net increase in available beds, roomettes, housing, apartments come from any of the money that will be expended at this address. It is only a change in classification of from a building that you guys could have had for free. If you had, as Mr. Udaly has pointed out, we need rental inspections. We have people living in substandard, dangerous places with abusive landlords. If, when I moved to the city in 2011, people had been going into the Joyce and documenting that,
you
would have had a clear eminent domain
case. Can I answer your question now? The difference is it's now permanent. We own it. So in perpetuity, this facility will be available to people. And because we own it, we can actually build larger on the site and put more people into permanent supportive housing. And had we not bought it, somebody else would have. And guess what they would have done? They would
have inclusionary zoning.
They would have evicted, no our argument there. They would have evicted everybody in it, they would have demolished it, and they would have built market rate housing with the inclusionary zoning, of course. But if we want permanent supportive housing for very low to zero income people, many of whom are struggling with very serious issues, whether it's addiction, whether it's mental health, whether they're domestic violence survivors, this is the kind of play we need to make. The $2 million, I wish it was free. It's not. The $2 million was the price to get rid of the guy who owned it so that we could own it and do it right for the people who need it the most.
Thank you.
That's
for your candor, Mayor.
Thank you, sir.
Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Mr. Johnson, while I don't agree that it's not a net gain for the city, I do share your frustrations. I don't think any property owner providing substandard housing in our city should be allowed to raise rents at all. And I would like to see the city get a lot more aggressive with enforcement. It's one of my regrets, no longer having BDS, that we weren't able to make headway with that. But I'll continue to advocate for it.
Thank you for listening.
Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, so they're still kicking people out of hospitals and kicking people out of shelters. And when I say people, I mean the elderly, the disabled, and the mentally ill. And these people are ending up on the street, and then the business owners call, like Clean and Safe, call Clean and Safe. And did you know that Oregon state law says that you cannot repeatedly and abusively call city services like 911 and your point of contact? It's between a $10,000 and $25,000 fine when you do that. Now, if you're kicking people out of hospitals and you're kicking people out of shelters and they're disabled and they have nowhere to go, guess where they're going to be? And it was really unfortunate that you allowed those bars to buy that alley on 2nd and Ankeny, because now they're proprietary. And when people are legally parked to live in Salvation Army Female Emergency Shelter, they're calling and complaining about their cars when they're legally parked. I know someone who's in there who gets up every morning and she would move her car, and then that guy, the business owner from the Oyster Bar, complained. She got 3 tickets and they towed her car even though she was moving her car during she was parking during the legally allowed time. And then she would get up very early in the morning, 5 a.m., and she would go down and move her car. From what I understand, the parking there was between the very late night and 7 a.m. in the morning was legal to park there. And so this guy was calling and having her ticketed and towed when she was legally parked. Now, why is that? So I would like the city to like give her back her, you know, wipe those tickets off and give her a car back and give her towing money back. And this happens all the time everywhere, is that these business owners are calling in abusively and repeatedly when nobody's doing anything wrong. So like they'll call when, you know, people cross the street to smoke, you know, where those planters are. So let's not sugarcoat the fact that there's more and more disabled people and elderly ending up on the streets, and there's no housing for them. So,
thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate it. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Joe Walsh, and I represent Individuals for Justice. We take no money from this council. We take no money from the county or the state. And I wish you would require people that give you testimony to tell you how much money they do take. How much does city concern take from the city? I don't know. In the millions. How much does anybody that testify before you take? That would be something interesting to hear, because your testimony is really biased if you take money. If I give you $100, you're not going to tell me I'm a rotten person. If you take no money, you may tell that person they are a rotten person to the core. we can't stop you from doing this because you've been doing it for 50 years, 20 years, 10 years. You buy property, you put people in there, you buy more property, you put people in there, you close down on the original property, and you put people in there. You just move people around. That's why we have 1,700 that we know of on the streets, and we can't seem to do anything about it. You had 10 years on a 10-year plan, and you blew it. Did you apologize? No. People are dying on the streets. We're going to die. People die. We had 48 die already this year. We had 80 last year, and you keep doing the same things. Would you think outside the box, come on a creative solution to the problem? This is not rocket science. Ask the people on the street, can I help you? What is it you need? Tell me. Don't use psychiatrists. Don't use Mark. He doesn't know anything. He is a millionaire. You guys are millionaires. You know nothing about being broke. Nothing. So ask Commissioner Dudley. She may be able to tell you. I can't. I've never been on the street. But we have people here that have. Ask them. You keep doing the same thing. We give you money on the bonds over and over again. And you blow it over and over again. And sooner or later, people are going to realize you're going
to
get voted out of office.
The last person who signed up is Steve Entwistle, Sr.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. I'm Steven Entwistle. I ran for mayor twice, and I'm a former Golden Gloves champion. And former homeless. Well, actually, I'm still homeless. Yeah. I live in a place that is called housing. But to me, housing is a house. So that's a lie. It's privatized sheltering. And that's a correct term, and not housing. Unless you want to consider housing warehousing. That would be more of the term. But housing in itself, no. Privatized sheltering. Why? Freedom. There's no freedom. Because you have to have a manager check to make sure that whoever you bring over isn't somebody that's on a bad list. And you can't have anybody over after 10 o'clock, no visitors. The electricity is shut off at 10 o'clock, so you can't cook. Electricity doesn't come on until 8 in the morning, so you can't have coffee or get ready for work. Okay, that's your housing that you're talking about, okay? And I'm not going to even go into the part where the bed bugs and the cockroaches and the contracts that these private property managers just gloat over. Because they're making some bucks, okay? And when you get somebody that's on Social Security, and they're getting whatever, $700-$800 or whatever a month, and then you charge through your, quote, housing, one-third. Now, most people that get SSI or SSD or whatever, only getting about a third of what they really need to survive to begin with. And then you go and take a third of that. And then you put them in the shelter and you say, well, they're supposed to be humble and know that they're being taken care of. No. No. That's wrong. And you wonder why people don't want to stay in that housing. You wonder why they go back on the street. That's the reason why. Okay. But nobody seems to care about that. You know, we got a shower curtain that's been in that shower. We got 40 people that use that every day. You know, it hasn't been changed. It hasn't been, you know, it's the same. It's actually starting to deteriorate. It's moldy and stuff. You know, a lot of people don't even go into the shower. You know, and then I'm supposed to bring folks over to, you know, homeless folks to try to help them, bring them in off the street, right? And then I got to be embarrassed to show them what kind of shower that we have to live in. You guys don't understand. We live in conserver world. For 50 years, it's been conserver world, okay? It's wrong, okay? Homelessness is going to increase, okay? You think the president's going to do anything to help homelessness? What politician have you heard anything talk about homelessness at all? And in fact, in the last 5 years, 10 years, none. Okay, that's the problem. Conservatives. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent... Lightning Super Data XX1 PDX. Again, on the bond money, as I've always stated, I do want to see new development for units that will last long term, basically outlive us all in here. Now, one of the issues you have on this is you're buying this originally using TIF funds from the downtown waterfront urban development, and then you're going to possibly redevelop it using the bond money. I'm a little confused why you just didn't buy this with the bond money. Maybe that can be explained now. I understand you're going to try to preserve this for the next 2 years, so does that mean you're going to put a lot of money in preservation? And I noticed you did a seismic study also. I sure hope you're not going to do a seismic upgrade on a building you're going to possibly demolish and a few years. So those are some concerns to me. I would rather have this building saved, preserved, and keep the cost minimal, and then do your 70 SROs and implement supportive services into the building currently. So I'm not really a fan of seeing this building being demolished. And one of the biggest concerns I have, and it's also referring to the Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park, is that my main focus on these tenants is if they're not going to be able to stay in this building, that you don't, as the city, think you have a right not to pay their relocation fees. I want you to pay double the amount to these people when they are relocated, because in my opinion, you think you have a pass on that. You took a pass on Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park, where you brought all these people in, filled this place up with the idea there might be a point that they can stay in there and maybe even end up buying their spaces. Well, guess what? You threw most of those people out and you didn't pay any relocation fees to them. You came in here with these people and then you threw them out of their place and you paid them nothing, and then you stand there and go, well, it just didn't work out. I'm sorry. No, that doesn't work with me. At the very least, you need to pay their relocation fees on that Oak Leaf Mobile Home Park. Send them a check now in the mail from Lightning and pay that full fee. And on this here, if you remove these tenants out, they better all get these relocation fees paid, because I'm going to monitor this and I'm going to make sure you treat these people the same way anyone else should be treated on these fees. You have no exemptions on this because you're the city. You pay them the fee and you write them that check and let them smile about receiving all that money. Is that going to be done? Can any of you answer me?
Thank
will
you.
They be paid the relocation fees?
Thank you.
Can any of you answer me that?
Thank you for your testimony.
That's what I thought. Shame on you. Shame.
Is that complete public all? Testimony? Mm-hmm. Very yes. Good. Call the roll.
Udaly?
Aye.
Fritz?
Congratulations and thank you to the Portland Housing Bureau on the acquisition of this property and for the partnership with the Joint Office and Central City Concern. 70 units of permanent supportive housing is really significant. Congratulations, Mayor. Aye.
Fish.
Again, I want to thank the voters for overwhelmingly passing ballot measures 102 and 26-199. And in concert with the Portland Housing bond and the monies we have left, we'll be able to stretch the tax dollar and serve even more people. Last year, we set an audacious goal of 2,000 units of permanent supportive housing. It is a national best practice. It is our most effective tool in addressing chronic homelessness. I am pleased that we continue to make progress. And this is difficult because this is deeply affordable, subsidized housing with services. And we haven't figured out all of the ins and outs of how we're going to cover the costs of the services. But we're making steady progress. And I'm also pleased that we are acquiring this particular building, and in time we'll make sure that it's a community resource for the next 100 years. Aye.
Saltzman.
Well, this is a great addition to our portfolio of
thank you very much.
Bond-funded projects. Congratulations, Mayor. Very much needed. And, you know, it's my understanding, from the tenant relocation ordinance debate, I think we made it abundantly clear that public agencies are responsible, just like the private sector landlords are, to pay relocation expenses. So I fully expect when this building is renovated, there will be relocation payments made by the city or Home Forward to the tenants at that time. Aye.
Wheeler.
So there is a strong disposition in this chamber to not try anything different, to stick to the status quo, to not take any risks. I heard somebody stand up and say, why do you guys always do the same thing over and over again and expect something different to happen? Well, this is something different. We are reinventing the SRO model. This is just the first of many projects you're going to see like this. And the goal is to connect people who really, truly need a helping hand, get inside, out of the elements, into a place where they can get whatever help it is they need to regain their lives. And how many times have we heard people sit at those microphones and say, that used to be me? And then somebody connected me, or someone's connected me to the help I needed. And now I've got a job, and I've got my family back, and I've, more importantly than anything else, I've got my sense of dignity and my sense of pride back. These kinds of projects are what it is going to take for this community to be able to make progress against the scourge of homelessness. And frankly, I find it ridiculous that every time we bring an idea that I believe is a good one, and I believe is a solid one, we hear 100 different reasons why we can't do it, why we shouldn't do it, why we should stick to what we are doing. That's not where I'm going. I'm going in a different direction. And this project, the West Wind, is the beginning of a different direction for this administration and for the Housing Bureau. And I believe we will look back on this and we will say this was the right strategy to help a lot of people. No, not just the people who live in the building, but the people who will live in the building and the people who will live in the successor to this building on this site for many, many years to come. This is the kind of leadership that you asked me to provide when you elected me your mayor. You may have some second thoughts about that. That's okay. But this is what you asked me to do. This is the kind of leadership I told you that I would provide as your leader to address the homeless situation in our community. So don't expect less of these. Expect more of these coming down the road. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you. Thanks to my colleagues. Next up.